Titus chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. Praise God. Titus chapter 1. I want to minister tonight on fixing a broken mind. There was an old comic strip. It was Frank and Everest. These were two gentlemen, and one of them wasn't always the smartest bulb on the tree. But Frank was sitting there one time. He says, "I constantly keep changing my mind." And Ernest looks at him in contemplation and he says, "Well, why don't you just get one that works and keep it?" In our day, mind hassles are a major issue that people face in this life, in this generation. There's all kinds of dysfunctional, there's all kinds of, there's online, I'm fascinated now to hear the advertisements when I've listened to some podcasts on online therapy that you can schedule and text and talk. And the reason is because people are alarmed about their minds. They know, some of them know they're losing it. Some of them know that they have issues that go on up here. And so I want to talk to you because in our generation, the mind is under assault. We're talking about this selfie generation, social media, those that have rejected truth and all of this kind of thing, oriented to fantasy and fables and all sorts of corruption. And I want to think with you about fixing that which is broken. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, "Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their conscience are corrupted." Other translations say that they are defiled. J.B. Phillips translates it diseased. And he's talking about minds and consciences that are corrupted. Now, the word corruption, many in our generation, has a real understanding when it comes to the issue of computers. A hard drive can become corrupted. When it's corrupted, of course, it doesn't work right. The data is lost. And now we have, of course, much of what we save to the cloud, the mysterious internet cloud that is floating up there somewhere. But there were times where when your computer got corrupted, you lost everything. And that term of corruption, now, it's fascinating. If you know anything about the Boeing 737 MAX, they had a problem with this. Now, Boeing was trying to keep up with Airbus, who had come out with their A319 airliner that was just fantastic for the short-haul flights. Boeing had done really well in the long-haul flights. Their Dreamliner does really good for overseas, for long-distance flights. But most people take short-haul flights. And the Airbus came out, and Boeing decided, we're going to try to get ahead of this. And they introduced the MAX, which had bigger engines and lower profile engines. And so it began to be a little bit difficult to fly. And then they had two crashes right in a row in Indonesia and in Ethiopia. They had a couple of scares in the United States. And what it came down to was the software was corrupt. It would override, it was not working right, it would take over, and it would force the plane into a stall, which meant that the wings couldn't lift the airplane any longer, and it would literally fall out of the sky. This is why the Boeing Corporation right now, it's part of the reason they're in big trouble, because they knew the software was corrupted. And yet this is the same word we read, minds are corrupted. It's causing people to fall. They have no peace. They enter into self-destructive behaviors. They enter into self-destructive mindsets. There's a reason, there's numbers of reasons and major things that can corrupt the mind. It's a virus. They were able to locate it specifically on the Boeing 737 MAX down to one program and realize that this was the problem. And there's people who they've lost it in their minds. And there's numbers of reasons. One is, when you allow bitterness and unforgiveness to go, it will torment your mind. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable. And in that parable, he tells of a servant that owes a very, very large debt. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that he could never pay. And he goes to his master, and his master forgives him. But when he goes out, he finds a servant that owes him $15,000, 100 denarii. And he says, you need to pay me right now. And when the master hears of this, it says in verse 34, the king was angry and sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. The man who owed millions, because he wouldn't forgive. It goes on to end the parable. The next verse says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you who refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. People who have unforgiveness living there, it corrupts them. They can't get beyond. They're stuck. Back in the day when we had vinyl records, some of you, I know it's a nostalgia thing now. People have, you know, nostalgia. They get the turntable. It's like, they have it. Well, that's all we had. We couldn't go to CDs. And if you got a scratch in your record, it would. How many of you ever taped a penny to your record needle, right? To try to get it to go through that scratch? I did, right? And, you know, to put some weight on it, to hold it down. But people who are in unforgiveness, it's like a scratch in their record. 2006. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but we're like 18 years beyond. 2006. Do you know what they did to me in 2006? Do you know what happened to me in 2006? It's like broken record. Over and over, they're tormented. They can't get beyond. You could show them a calendar, 2024. People like that. Some people I know are mad at people who are dead. They're dead. They're gone. They can't bother you anymore. But they can't let it go. Vivid picture of people who do not forgive become tormented. We know that unforgiveness affects the body. That when you don't forgive, it shows up in many different ways. And there's many times when we pray for people, we get them to say, I forgive. And sometimes they have to say specifically who they're forgiving, and they get healed. But what's true for the body is also true for the mind. And there's some people, their mind is corrupt because they will not forgive. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. That word foothold is literally a base of operation. It's a military term. It would be like the thought of D-Day in World War II when the Allied troops crossed the English Channel to set up a foothold, get a toe grip, some would even say, on the continent to begin to force the German army back. Sin does this, but especially unresolved, unrepented sin, anger and hatred, wrath, unforgiveness becomes a beachhead point in someone's life. And that's why they become the broken record. They're corrupt. They don't work. When I had one of my first computers, one of the programs, the initial programs, got corrupted. And back in the days, you had to load disks in, and, you know, we didn't really know about computer viruses. The internet wasn't that big yet and such. But something happened to my compact computer, and it got corrupted. And it wouldn't boot right, and it wouldn't, type right. And so finally, I loaded another disk, and it showed me what two lines of code were actually the same. I understand it that much, and to delete one and get rid of it. But something had been corrupted and was giving bad information. Unforgiveness does that. It corrupts the mind. Another thing that corrupts the mind is people who are self-absorbed. Social media has created people who are very self-absorbed. I heard a comedian talking recently, really liked his routine. He said, back in the day, when people had pictures and they saved them, they were important pictures. My mother has found a picture of her aunt who had, I think one of her daughters got married, and a major opera star. Now, I couldn't tell you who this is, but this guy was big in his day. He was, and so they're standing out. He actually came to my mother's cousin's wedding and performed at the wedding. And so this big deal, it's really big, it's there, and so she's got this proudly displayed. Someone came into her apartment, recognized him right away and said, "You knew him? Oh my gosh, how did you?" They, knew. What do they have today? Here's my lunch. And here's yesterday's lunch. And here's me standing in a mirror. Here's another one of me standing in a mirror. Actually, the next 12 are me standing in the mirror. Right? That's what we have today. People are so self-consumed. That torments the mind. Original sin got focused on self. We read it this morning in temptation. The woman was convinced the tree looked beautiful, delicious. She wanted the wisdom to get that it would give her. It's now no longer what God said. It's what I want. And in a social media generation, people are very self-consumed. It's very interesting that sin always starts with a focus on self. And you read the Bible and it uses words like self-centered, self-seeking, self-gratifying in the terms of sin. That self is at the focus. What am I missing? What don't I have? The prodigal son, give me my livelihood. Let me go so that I can go out and do what I want to do. Doesn't care about the father. Doesn't care about his brother. Doesn't care about any. It's about what he wanted to do. Focus on self. King Nebuchadnezzar is probably the greatest example. Chapter 4 of the book of Daniel is written by King Nebuchadnezzar. It's written in the first person. You can read it yourself. It's not Daniel writing it. He's taken the writing from King Nebuchadnezzar that I believe probably wrote it out for him. And he's so proud, he's lifted up, proud. You know, look what I've done. Oh, isn't this great? And it says, as the words are coming out of his mouth, a voice from heaven says, nobody, you're going to eat grass and crawl around with, on, you know, in your belly. Your hair's going to grow long, your nails are going to grow long, and you're going to basically be insane for a year. I can't imagine what the court officials, like the palace officials, like, Mr. President, yeah, I'm sorry, the king's a little tied up right now. As soon as he comes back, I'll let him know that you called, okay? What would that have been like? How would they have explained this? That, you know what, the king's out there doing self-destructive things. Because when this is gone, we'll touch on this, but it's very interesting that both King Nebuchadnezzar and the prodigal have a moment of sanity. Daniel 4:34, after this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned. So he even says, you know what, I was insane. And I praised and worshiped the Most High, and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is eternal. My sanity returned. I had corrupted my mind because of self. The prodigal, it says, when he finally came to his senses and realized, he said to himself, even at home, my father's hired servants are doing better than I'm doing. All in the mind. There are people who have violated their minds. They've done things they know they shouldn't. They're involved in things they know they shouldn't. B, they've opened themselves up. To the pure, all things are, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are corrupted. We corrupt our conscience because we do something we shouldn't do. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7, however, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed of thinking that idols as being real, so that when they eat food to idols, they think of it as worshiping real gods. Their weak consciences are violated. Their weak conscience violated. Because they think they're doing something wrong. That they're doing. And Paul's explaining, you know what? There's a lot more other things that you could have done wrong. And he laid out lists about, like, adultery and fornication and drunkenness and homosexuality and all these kinds of things he lays out in chapter 6. And yet then there's people walking around under this massive condemnation because they ate a hamburger that might have been offered to an idol. They didn't know because they bought the meat later in the marketplace, but they're tormented by this. This can be true, especially in sexual violations, physical violations, can really affect someone. Sometimes it's not necessarily what they've even done. I read a woman in Lithuania who had become a Christian in Soviet times. And she had been arrested a number of times. She had been drugged. She said, I know some of the food they gave me because I ate lunch and then didn't remember the next 3 days. I don't know what they gave me. I don't know what they did. Things had happened to her. And it was very hard and sometimes very sad to talk to her because she was always worried. She was always tormented. She got some breakthrough when she came into the church and God began to really help her. We were able to pray with her and see some breakthrough. But Something happened. She fell back into all of it and left the church. I don't know what happened to her. James says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. And this torments people. Not only that, there's a real spiritual level. We talked a little bit about this morning. But when you open doors, when you are involved in certain activities, you open yourself up to be tormented by spirits. They're real. God's going to set some people free tonight, so hang in there. But there's a real torment in a spiritual realm. Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, talking about King Saul, who had said he had done the will of God, but really hadn't. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord had sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever this tormenting spirit troubles you, and he'll play soothing music, and you will soon be well again. Chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. The next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing his harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and suddenly he hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped twice. That Saul, violating what God had said, did you kill everyone I told you to kill? Yes, I sure did. Why do I hear sheep? Why is King Ahab still alive? Not Ahab. Why is the king still alive? Agag. Why is he still alive? Why did you sacrifice when you weren't supposed to sacrifice? Why did you do what you weren't supposed to? And he's tormented. Troubling spirit comes upon him. Saul's rebellion and disobedience caused torment from a spirit. It's real. It can affect you, and it plays with your mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of a self-discipline, or some translations say of a sound mind. This is why a lot of mental issues are not chemical imbalances, which is a myth anyway. It's a tormented conscience. It's a tormented mind. Luke 8:26 and 27, and when they arrived in the region of the Gadareans across the lake from Galilee, Jesus was coming, climbing out of the boat, and a man possessed by a demon came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked and living in the tombs outside of town. What had he been involved in? I have no idea. Doesn't tell us. But he's tormented, running around naked, howling at the moon, living in graveyards, cutting himself. You open yourself up. He had done something that opened the door. Been involved in something that caused that to happen. James writes it this way, but if you are bitter, if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth by boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. They're worldly, they're fleshly, they're demonically inspired. It opens people up to torment. There's people who, it's exterior forces. You start believing all the insanity that the media pumps out. And I don't care if it's NSMDC or if it's Fox. I don't care if it's conservative radio or if it's the nonsense of hip-hop. It's going to mess with your mind. It's going to try to get a hold of you in the way you think. Romans 12 in verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The literal thought there in the Greek is the world is trying to put its stamp on your mind. It's trying to put an impression on your mind. It's literally the way they used to make coins. They would strike them. Now, we have wonderful mints today, and every quarter looks exactly the same, but that wasn't true in ancient times because they would actually be banging them by hand, stamping the metal. That's what the world is trying to do to your mind. And that will be very confusing. It'll be very tormenting, very corrupting. Now that I've got us in a bunch of trouble, let's get out. Our text says, everything is pure to those who are pure of heart, and nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are corrupt. So what's the way to first fix your mind? Fix your heart. I was fascinated. My wife read a book a while back on the rehab industry. And that's what it is. It's an industry now. And how they have a very low success rate. In fact, their success rate is equal to people who don't go through rehab and make the decision to cut it off cold turkey. Because the issue isn't knowledge, and that's what rehabs will give you is knowledge. And not all of it's bad. I'm not preaching against rehabs, believe me, that they have their place. Sometimes it's the length of time just to dry out and get a mind. But it really comes down to the heart. A decision of the heart changes it all. Because it's not information. We live in an overly informationalized generation. And I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going with it. We have more information today. But the heart becomes the issue. When people's hearts are corrupt, when their hearts are full of greed, Jesus said, what you speak is a reflection of your heart. This is where murders and thefts and adulteries and greed and all of these things come from, idolatries. They come from the heart, not from the mind. So the first thing we have to do is have our hearts changed. James 4, 6 through 10, for he gives grace generously. The scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift up you in honor. Powerful scripture. It says, first of all, there has to be a genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. This is what this is talking about. Realize, you know what? What you did wasn't just a light issue. That's why you're tormented. And you're not going to just genuflect, you know, do the Catholic thing. You know, bless me, Father, you know, and out you go. Believe me, I did it many years. It didn't work. Still doesn't work. I knew how to do it. I was an altar boy for a little while, and I went, that's a lying gig, because I'm, you know, I'm not worthy to be up there. Repentance. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts. Come to God. God, you know why? It's not his fault. It's not her fault. It's not their fault. It's not Biden's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's not Hochul's fault. It's my fault. It's me. I'm the one that's broken. It's me that has to be fixed. I'm the one who did this, divided my loyalties between you and the world. Let there be sorrow, deep grief, sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Coming before God, this is the picture of repentance. You want to fix your mind? Fix your heart. Take your heart and lay it before God and say, God, I'm messed up. I messed up. I didn't do right here or there. Or maybe savoir faire is everywhere. I didn't do right. And I need to get my heart right with you. That's where it begins. So many tormented minds, it's heart issues. Come closer to God. Sometimes in that, there's going to be a need of deliverance. We're going to pray for people tonight. The Gadarene demoniac that we read about, that story ends with people rushed out to see what had happened. The crowd gathered around Jesus. They saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and perfectly sane. And they were afraid. They saw it. Here's a man tormented, cutting himself, running around naked, howling at the moon, all of these things. One encounter with Jesus. One desire to get his heart right with the Lord. And his mind is restored. Because it begins with the heart. But sometimes we need deliverance. Sometimes there's spirits involved. Sometimes there's open doors. This can be involved two different things. This can involve things you've done, said, been involved in, people you've been with, whatever. Or it can be objects that you have in your home. And if that's the case, you need to pray and God will help you and he will show you. I had a young woman, one of the churches I pastored, she had had a pretty horrific background before she got saved and married. And she gets married and she comes to me and confesses. She says, I'm tormented. I've actually called my husband the wrong name. Old boyfriend's names. Can that be broken? I said, sure can. We prayed, broke the soul tying, and God set her free. She's serving God today. There's the repentance. This is what the son does. He comes to himself. He goes home. He gets it right with the Father. He makes the statement, I'm not worthy. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. That's repentance. And then, of course, you have to stop feeding the corruption. You have to stop, you know. Giving your mind over to it. If that's forgiveness, you need to just let it go. Don't go back to 2006. Go forward. Because you know what? 2006 won't be here again. But in a couple of blinks and a wake up, it'll be 2026. And we're already a third of the way through this thing already, and it just seems like New Year's was last week, right? Never mind. I feel, you know, anyway, 2020 just messed up all time. This could be the words you speak, the people you're with. Could be a lot of different things. You've got to take a stand and stop feeding the corruption of the heart. Proverbs 4:23-27, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. All perverse talking, avoid all perverse talking and stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on that which lies before you. Mark out your paths of your feet and stay on the right path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. It says, watch what you say, what you hear, what you're listening, what you're giving that all over to. Watch what you put in your eyes. Critical words, images, whatever it might be. And mark out the path of your feet. Close with this. The drummer of my very first rock and roll, or not my first, my second band. Probably the one, he's not saved, but met up with him years later, and we had lunch, him and our wives. And got to witness to him for a little bit. He told me a story. He was in the army after our two of the members, me and Mark, got saved. He was kind of adrift. The other guitarist moved off to California to go to a true school. It's called the GTI. It's the Guitar Institute of Technology. It's a true, real school. And went off there. So Eric's like, "What do I do?" We were more friends than musicians. So he joined the army. And he was in Iraq in the first 1991 war to get Saddam out of Kuwait. He's driving one time. He's with three other guys. They're in a Jeep and they're driving. And they're going and they come across a few American soldiers, and they're saying, which way to this particular city? And they say, listen, you need to go back. I can't tell you how to get to this city, but I can tell you if you go this way, you're going to end up in Iran. And they're going to arrest you, and it's going to be an international incident. If you go this way, there's landmines. Saddam made that. It's the way back to Kuwait, the shortest route, but it's full of landmines. You'll probably get killed. So the best thing we can tell you is turn around and go the other way. If your mind is tormented, the best thing I can tell you is turn around and go the other way. Because it's a heart issue. That's what Titus tells us. You get your heart right, and it becomes pure, all things become pure. The heart has that much power over the mind in your purity and your deliverance. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Just a moment of time. And we want to give an invitation to first, maybe you're here this evening and you're not right with God. You're not saved, you're not born again, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. Sin will torment you. Sin will absolutely affect how you act, all that you're involved in, how you process life. God wants to forgive you. He wants to give you and start with a new heart. It begins with you getting repentance. God wants to touch you. You're here this evening. That's you. I wonder if you'd slip up your hand. Pray for me. I need to get my heart right with Jesus. Anyone at all, very quickly. We're going to move on. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you have a tormented mind. Maybe there are others here who have no idea what you're going through. But you've opened yourself up and you realize, you know what, the issue isn't must try harder, more discipline. It's that I have corrupted my mind because my heart's not right. And I got to get my heart right. Come back to Jesus. That's you. Very quickly, slip it up. Put it right back down. That's me. Anyone at all? Changing the call then to Christians. Sometimes these things can linger. Sometimes we're not backslidden, but we're bitter. We're angry. We're self-consumed. We live on social media, and we're frustrated, and we can't figure out why my mind goes where it goes. Well, it's because what you're feeding it. Self-gratification, self-centered, selfies. That's why. Because it defiles the heart. The way to fix the mind is to deal with the heart. When we do that, God will help us. Let's all stand. We're going to open up these altars. We're going to pray for people in just a moment.
For He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
For He is Lord.
For He Christ.